wonder in my soul.
Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the precious opportunity, Lord, to be able to allow you through our ministries, Lord, to come on this radio broadcast, Father, and just exalt your people in the truth of your word, my Father. So right now, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, and we ask, Lord, that your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives here on earth, Father, just as it is in heaven, my Father God. Now, Father, feed us, Lord, from the bread of life, from the King's table, Lord, until we want no more. And, Lord, that'll be, we'll be being fed by you forever. So we always hunger and thirst after your righteousness, after your word, after your law, after your kindness and your mercy that endure forever, Father. So here we are, Lord. Holy Spirit, we humble ourselves, say yes to your will, yes to your way, yes to the ministry that you are doing in the earth today, that the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ, sent you to do. Therefore, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, and we say, Holy Spirit, you can have your way in this broadcast today. Hallelujah. And we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, once again, it's always an honor and a privilege to come on here with y'all and to go into the very presence of the Most High God, along with every last one of you who are under the sound of my voice. Hallelujah. I count it an honor and a privilege that you would allow us, hallelujah, to minister to you, to usher you into the literal presence of the Most High God. There's one thing I want you to always understand about this radio broadcast. It's a means to an end, and the end is to get you into the presence of the Most High God. David called it the secret place of the Most High God. Moses called it, man, you know, the presence of the Lord. Abraham called it the promised land, you know. Noah called it the ark. Adam called it the Garden of Eden. And Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. So, hey, it's a precious opportunity and a precious privilege once again, to go into the literal presence of the Most High God, along with every last one of you under the sound of my voice, and just allow God to mold us and shape us into his intended plan, purpose, and destiny and desire for all our lives. So, hey, you know, let's go before our Father in heaven and let's allow him to speak to our hearts. Lord, anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church in this hour. Hey, mighty men, mighty women, once again, you know, it's an honor and a privilege. And I have on here again with me this week, you know, Apostle Ronald and Pastor Earlene Addison with Bethel Divine Intervention Ministry, located in the Bunker, Louisiana area at 1909 North Highway 71, here, right here in the Bunker area. So Apostle and Earlene, you know, hey, we're going to do what God always do, man. Allow him to use us, man, for his glory. So, hey, I'll just turn the broadcast over into y'all hands.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everyone. Those who are out there listening by way of radio, we thank you right now for another opportunity to thank you for our pastor, our author, and our girl. We thank you for everything that God has done for us. And we know that we just got over the Thanksgiving holidays, but don't forget that every day is Thanksgiving. Amen. And God bless us to see another day. So we got so much to be thankful for. Amen. Oh, man. So today, God has placed something on my heart. I'll go first this time, Pastor. She asked me to go first, and after that, you'll hear her voice. But turn, branch out over with me to 1 Peter. Over the last 3 or 4 days, God has been dealing with my heart on the situations. On 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And follow with me as I read. Read us this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happening to you. And in verse 14, it says, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And I want you to go with me to chapter 4 here in verse 1. And it says, for us then, much then as Christ had suffered for us in the flesh, he says, arm yourself likewise the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh had ceased from sin. Now, Peter is our author today. And we just want to talk about for about victory and suffering. Victory and suffering. You know, we know a little history about Peter. He's the one of the disciples that when he saw the Lord walking on water, and he did the same pretty much miracle Christ did, and then he took his eyes when the wind got bossed, and he began to sink. And we know that Peter's one of the ones who said, Lord, I'll die for you. And then the Lord told him to say, before the thrice, you've been denied me 3 times. So we know a little bit of history of Peter, but when you go over to the book of Acts, that same Peter that some looked down upon is the same one that began to preach the gospel with much suffering and power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, being beaten, thrown in jail, everything. So what I want to say is this. Peter knew how to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 12, he said that, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happening to you. He called it a fiery trial. And in the Greek, it means horosis, refers to intense suffering, a persecution, or the adversity that believers face as means of testing and purifying their faith. And you know, the example is just, if the imaginary is drawn from the process of refining precious metals in a furnace, wherein two heat burns away impurities or dross to reveal pure gold or silver. You know, I think about how Jesus, when he got to the place of Gethsemane, He said, the Bible said that he was as sweat as there was drops of blood. That word got sentiment means hard pressed. That's why they had to crush and squeeze and beat and smash and bruise those olive berries to produce the oil. There was a shaking, a crushing, and a bruise to get the oil. And Peter called it a fiery trial. You know, sometimes you wonder why everything is happening to you. You know, sometimes you wonder why it looks like something always happens bad to the good. But if you're in Christ Jesus, we don't have bad days. We might have some challenges. We have trials and tribulations, but our suffering in Christ Jesus bring us forth as gold. It brings us forth as vessels of honor and not dishonor. We have to, the Lord himself wants us to shape us to a fitting image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants to build his character in us. You know, a lot of times believers, they want the blessings and the goodness of God and eat the fat of the lamb, but we don't want to be partakers of drinking out of the cup of suffering. We are partakers in Christ, and we also partakers in his suffering. So no matter what you're going through, don't think it's strange that you're being picked on, that look like things not getting better, look like this bad thing happened, this storm happened. One thing I know about if you're in Jesus Christ, either you're in a storm, just in a storm, rather, or either you're in the midst of a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. So in Christ, you will go through adversity. Even the scripture declares in John 16:33, Jesus said that these things are speaking to you, that in me you shall have peace. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, for I will overcome the world. So the good thing is we know that Jesus overcame, we will overcome. That's the good news. So the key aspect of biblical meaning, refinement, and purification is the primary purpose of a fiery trial is not punishment us, but it's sanctification. It serves to strengthen the belief, character. It deepens our reliance on God and burn our sin and self-trust. So I say again, the key aspect of biblical meaning of suffering is a refinement and purification. It's the primary purpose. This is the primary purpose of a fiery trial. It's not for to punish us, but it's for sanctification. It serves to strengthen a believer's character. It deepens our reliance on God and burn our sin and self-trust. So when we go through the fiery trial, as I made mention earlier, it's to build God's character in us. So don't think it's strange. But he said in verse 13, but rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. So he tells us to rejoice in the suffering, rejoice in the persecution, rejoice during the storm. It might be hard, it's hard and difficult when loved ones die. It hurts when people you thought was your friend turn their back upon you. The very one that you trusted is the very one that's trying to backdoor you, trying to take your job from, and that's the one that you try to help, that you help get the job, and it brings grief to your heart. It crushes your spirit. You know, I remember the time when my mom had passed away. I had so many other things to deal with, not just dealing with the grief, but then it was attacking my body. So I didn't know what to grieve for more, the pain that my body was suffering or the pain or loss of my mom. So it's like everything was happening at one time, and you know you're not in sin, so you're like, God, where you at? And all this stuff. And all this action. But he said somebody today is going through a storm. Somebody's having trials, tribulations. This is happening after this. This trouble is happening after this. This trial looks like you're going in and out of a storm, and you're wondering, we're like, what's next? And why me, Lord? But he says, think is not strange. It's not that because you are a bad person. It's not because you are doing something wrong. It's because that we have been picked out to be picked on. We wear the mark of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you will have this. But the thing is, the Bible tells us don't suffer as a busybody or evildoer, but suffer for righteousness. Because sometimes people and body in Christ, and we do bring things out of ourselves sometimes by being disobedient to the word of God. But if you're going to go through something, make sure you go through something for righteousness' sake and not for you have done. So, beloved, walk in the victory in Christ. Walk and liberty in Christ in the midst of your suffering and rejoice. With that being said, I pass it over to Pastor Eileen Ellis. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I started in Revelation on last Saturday, and I'm going to go back to Revelation, because there's so much meat in here that we need to digest. And in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, we see the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, meaning to John, mm-hmm. to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. He sent it all out to the churches. And most people I hear say, we have time. Let me tell you about time. Time waits for no one. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what will happen between now and the reading of this word. So some might be saying that I have time. Mm-hmm. We don't know the time that God is going to take us out of this world. He said unto him, he says, and he sent and signified it by his angels. Angel unto his servant John, mm-hmm. who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And it also tells us that we're blessed if we read this word. And they that hear the words of prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John is telling us the time is at hand. Yes, we've been saying this for years and years and years, but now to this new generation, I want to speak to you about the second trumpet. In Revelation, it refers to an event described in Revelation 8, chapter 8, verse 8 through and 9, something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea to turn into blood, third of living creatures to die, and a third of the ships to be destroyed. The seventh trumpet judgment occurs during the end times. And we're coming to the end times. We don't know who's going to be here at the end, but I'm telling you, it's time for us to do some research and get closer to God. To you who are driving on the highway right now, going to or back home, listening to the radio, Don't change the dial. Don't touch it, because this is something that God might want you to hear since it was on this station. Yeah. And the revelation in chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. Thank you, Jesus. Revelations in chapter 8, verse 8 and 9, it tells us about this second trumpet. And the second angel sounded as it was a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the mountains, fountains of the water. So these things are happening, will happen. And hopefully we don't be here at that time to see these things happen. The third trumpet is a significant event described in the book of Revelation, specifically in Revelation 8, chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. This event is a part of a seal, a part of series of seven trumpets that unfold during the end time as revealed to the Apostle John. These are end time things that are going on, but God wants us to know it's something in this book he wants us to know about. And we need to take heed to the word of this book. That's what the Bible tells us. We are to take heed to this. And so in Revelation 8, 10 and 11, it says, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third of the part of waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Some bitter waters, some things that's going on. And we as servants of God, he sent John to write to us, the churches. We need to know these things. We need to know what will the revealing of this word in Revelation. The fourth trumpet in Revelation signifies a divine judgment that results in a significant reduction of light from the sun and moon and stars, symbolizing spiritual darkness and a call to repentance. Spiritual darkness is going to come upon this earth. And we need to understand this. Revelation 8 and 12, then the fourth angel sounded his trumpet. And a third of the sun, the moon, and stars were struck. So the third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light. Also, a third of the night. This event is a part of a series of seven trumpets judgment that occur during the end time as revealed to John. There's so much in this, I can't get to it all, and I'm trying to rush through it. But the fifth trumpet describes the fifth trumpet in Revelation 9, 1 through 3, where a star falls from heaven and it is given the key to the bias. And this star represents a fallen angel. And the opening of the abyss reveals locusts with the power to torment those without the seal of God. If you don't have the seal of God written upon you, then this is what's going to happen. Oh, my God. And we need to think highly upon this, because these things of judgment is coming. And it's in the word of God, and God is telling us to teach the churches these things. We are to go back to Revelation and get some direct input from this word. The fifth trumpet describes the fifth trumpet in Revelation 9:3. I just read that one, so I'm going to skip down. Is the sixth trumpet in Revelation found in chapter 9, verse 13 through 21, is a significant event. It involves the release of four angels bound in the Euphrates River who lead an army of 200 million that kills one-third of the earth population. This trumpet is also referred to as the second woe, marking the period of great devastation. If you look around you right now, with all this nation, what's going on with the nation right now? You see fires burning, buildings falling, and Jesus warned us of that also. He said, when we see all of these things, take a notice, take note that it is almost time for him to come back. So the marking a period of great devastation and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000 and thousands, and I heard the number of them. Thus I saw the horses in a vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire, and Jason and brimstone. By those of a third part of them was killed by fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issues out of their mouth. Their power in their mouth and their tails were like unto serpents and hard heads, and with them they do hurt. This is going to be a dangerous thing. Everybody say, I have time. And I may not be here. Yeah. But once again, time don't wait for nobody. Mm-hmm. And if you are here and you don't have that seal on your head, then your soul is going to burn in hell. You will wake up in hell. And as I hear some people say, well, you know, we got time before the coming of the Lord. You don't know when he's coming. How do you know he's coming? Yeah. The Son of God don't even know this time. And you got time? So the seventh trumpet is the last trumpet. Yeah. Seven is the number of completion. The seven angels sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. And we better pray that we will be one, the ones reigning with him,
yes,
coming back with him, and not the ones who are left behind. With this trumpet, the announcement of Christ's reign is made as we move to completion of this period. While the tribulation doesn't end right when this trumpet is blown, it is getting close. There are some major events left to play out, but we know this trumpet is blown closer to the end of the Great Tribulation. And when you look on TV, you see them getting ready to blow the trumpet. You see the red heifer, all these signs that God is coming back. And I'm not going to go any farther because the next part of it is talking about the fire, the first woe, W-O-E, the first woe. And that will give us more of revelation of what is going on, about to go on, if we don't have the seal marked upon our head. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Thank God for the word. Once again, this is Apostle Ron Edison, Pastor Eileen Edison. We're down here at Bethel Bomb Intervention Ministry, 1909 Highway 71 North in Bunker, Louisiana. And we thank God for this opportunity. Love you. Thank you, Pastor Austin, for having us on once again. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, my brother and my sister, for sharing with us, you know, an end time revelation, you know, and a right now world. A right now world. You know, I heard you say, Apostle, you know, that ain't thinking no strange things for all the fiery trials that are coming up on us, man, you know, in these days. And I heard you, Pastor Eileen, you know, talking about, man, the end time things that are coming upon the earth. You know, it reminds me of a song that I heard perhaps probably 35 years ago. And it was by Marvin Winans. and it kind of went like this, you know. He say him and his and some of, you know, they was coming from a church service one night, you know, and they were passing through the neighborhood after the church service was over, and they was passing by a club. And when they was passing by the club, they say it was guys out there fighting. And she say that, and one of the ladies in the car would and say, Lord, look at there, man. They ought to be in church somewhere. Get out here, man, these clubs and fighting and everything else. If they were in church somewhere, man, all that wouldn't be going on. And, you know, Marvin Miner said, you know, he thought about it. And then he said, but who's going to tell them that Jesus loves them? Who's going to tell them that there's a better way? Who's going to warn them of the things that's coming on them so that God can turn their nights to day? I'm going to say it again. He said, but who's going to tell them that Jesus loves them? Who's going to tell them there's a better way? Who's going to warn them of the things coming on them so God can turn their nights today? So many people walking in darkness. What you mean, Arthur? They don't know. They don't know about the things coming on them. They don't know about the love of God. They don't know about the better way. That's why God used the foolishness of preaching and teaching and has given us gifts, the fivefold ministry, for that purpose, to let the world know that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world back unto himself, not imputing man's trespasses against him, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation for this reason, to go into all the world and let the world know that Jesus loves them and that, man, there is a better way. To go into all the world and let them and warn them about the things that's coming on them so that God can turn their nights today, their darkness to knowledge and and illumination and information. For what purpose, Brother Arthur? So that they can know the truth. It is not the truth that set you free, it's the truth that you know. Hallelujah. You got to know the truth. You got to know about the love of God, you know, that he has for you and that he displayed through his son, Jesus Christ. You need to know, man, that if you reject that love or turn away from that love, then, man, you need to be warned of the things that's coming on you. Well, that's a devil's hell that was made for the devil and his angels, that we must escape, that we must, man, you know, not find ourselves in that place or in that position or out of right standings with our Father in heaven so that we don't end up in that place. You know, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You know, the hell is real. And a lot of times I get to hear my brother, you know, Bishop Townsend, you know, he used to say all the time, you know, man, people don't want to preach about sin and no more, you know, and they need to know. They need to know that the penalty for sin is death. And they also need to know that the gift of God is eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, if you don't take the gift, then you're going to get me in the penalty. The penalty what? The penalty for sin is death. That's what happened to Adam, man. When they sinned, when they rebelled against God in Genesis chapter 3, it caused them, man, death. Not just physical death. But it caused them, man, spiritual death, separation from God. You know, that's spiritual death. That's the first death. And that spiritual death, man, eventually caused the spirit of man to be separated from his body. That's physical death. And then you got the third death right there. That's eternal death. That's if you, man, never receive the love of God that he displayed in his son, Jesus Christ, and you reject his saving grace. Then, man, listen, my God, if you reject that, then the penalty for that, man, is eternal death. What's eternal death? That's eternally separated from God without any hope of ever being reconciled back to him again. The Bible calls it hell, Sheol. You know, there's three hells in the Bible. They all spell the same way, but they have different meanings. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. That word hell there is Hades. What do you mean? That's physical death. And what Jesus was saying, say, even after you die physically, that's not the end. Yeah, you know. In fact, man, that's not the termination of your life. That's the transition of your life. When you go from living in time to living in eternity. And boy, if you have received the love of God that's in Christ Jesus and the gift of salvation, then, man, you go back into where you came from, the presence of the Lord. Awaiting, man, you know, the final consummation of what God has written the plan and purpose and intent and desire for mankind and the creation of this earth was. And that's for you to reign on the earth, to rule in the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And, man, God wants you to know things like that. You know, the complication of the Bible is, and well, sometimes we say, well, you know, the Bible is hard to understand, or I don't understand what it's saying. It's because, man, you know, we've gotten away from the basics, the primary thing, you know, that which was from the beginning. Because when you realize and come to the knowledge of, man, that which was from the beginning, what was from the beginning? Man, Adam and Eve were walking and talking with God in the cool of the day. And the strange thing and the trial and tribulation, man, that come upon mankind, that didn't happen until after they, man, died spiritually, got separated from God. And eventually, man, after 930 years, Adam died physically. But thanks be unto God, for the gift of God is eternal life. The penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that's what our desire is, you know, that, man, you come to the knowledge of the gift of God. The Bible says, for by grace are we saved, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. By grace are we saved, through faith. And that's not of ourselves. That's a gift from God. Listen, salvation is a gift from God. Eternal life, that's a gift from God. Faith, that's a gift from God. Faith to obtain that is a gift from God. All these things that God does for us, man, they are gifts from our Father in heaven. Not that we did anything to deserve it. That's the love of God that he displayed in all of us, man. I'm talking about in through his son Jesus Christ to all of us. For what reason, Arthur? So that you can escape the corruption that's coming upon this earth. Listen, the book of Revelation is a powerful book, and too many people don't read out of that book or preach out of that book because that's a future event, you know. And in that future event of Revelation, that's a consummation of everything that God begun in the beginning of the Bible. In fact, that's the end result right there. Because if you read on in Revelation, man, and go all the way through it, through the trials, through the tribulation, through the 7-year tribulation, through the millennium. And watch, let me just say this while I'm right here about the millennium. You know, I hear some people say, well, the kingdom haven't come yet, you know. There is, and I can understand where they're coming from, because there is a future kingdom. There's coming a time when Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth, and he's going to set up, man, a physical kingdom upon this earth. It's called the 1,000-year millennium, the 1,000-year reign. Man, that's when Pastor Berlin was talking about the devil being cast into that bottomless pit. They're going to be for 1,000 years. And Jesus Christ is going to set up a physical kingdom upon this earth, kind of like what the Hebrews and the Israelites were looking for him to do. Man, when he came to this earth, they were looking for him to solve all their religious problems and everything else and set up a physical kingdom like David's kingdom was upon the earth, where they would rule and reign even over the Roman Empire and the Roman government and everything else. They were looking for, man, a physical kingdom upon only earth. And Jesus Christ, first and foremost, come to set up, man, a spiritual kingdom in the earth. That's in you. That's in me. He said, Jesus comes preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they say, where is it? Is it over here? Is it over there? He said, no. When I finish doing what I'm doing and clean you up from all your unrighteousness, then the kingdom of heaven is going to be on the inside of you, in your heart, in your mind, in your emotions, in your attitudes, in your lifestyle, in your culture, in your home, on your job, wherever you go. Why? Because the kingdom of God, boy, that he set up on the earth is in the earth, in you. In your body, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your emotions, in your attitude, your very being. That's where the kingdom of heaven is there. That's where it begins there. It don't begin on the earth first. It begins in the earth. That's in us. And when it comes to the fullness of it being on the inside of us, then it starts manifesting itself on the earth. If you read the prayer carefully with Jesus Christ, the template, he said this, thy kingdom come and thy will be done in earth. Just as it were in earth, not just on the earth. Listen, before it can get on the earth, it got to get in the earth. Hallelujah. That's why it was from the beginning. God was setting up the kingdom of heaven, man, on the earth, in a little spot, man, on the earth called the Garden of Eden. Well, boy, I'm talking about God was not just among them or around them, but he was on the inside of them in the person of the Holy Spirit. What's that? That's the kingdom of heaven in you. Who? That's God in you. That's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Where does kingdom begin at? It begins on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And that was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. That's over in Daniel chapter 7, you know. It says, and the saints of the Most High God shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. You heard man pastor earlier say, boy, the kingdom of this world has become one with the kingdom of our God. Hallelujah. And in us coming to the knowledge of that, the kingdom of our God, and that kingdom is on the inside of you, it's for this intent and for this purpose, that you might know that you can escape the corruption that's coming up on this earth, because it's coming. But boy, God wants you to know about it so that you can then come to the knowledge of how to escape that. How you escape all the corruption that's coming into this world when you, man, become one with the kingdom of our God. So let me tell you something about this kingdom of our God. It's an everlasting kingdom, and it's from everlasting to everlasting. And the Bible says in Daniel's that the saints of the Most High God, that's all of us, take the kingdom and possess it, right? Possess that sovereignty and that dominion and that raw power and that righteousness and that peace and that joy in the Holy Ghost that we lost in our forefather Adam You need to come to the knowledge or something. What? That everything that we lost in Adam has been restored back to us. What we lost in Adam? We lost the Holy Spirit. We lost the presence of the Lord. We lost the kingdom of heaven on earth. We lost our righteousness, right standing and right positioning with God. We lost our sovereignty, our dominion, our royal power. We lost, boy, I'm talking about our peace and our joy in the Holy Ghost. And we lost the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven that God had set up on the earth and placed us in, the Garden of Eden. We lost all of that and find ourselves, man, out in the wilderness experience. In downtown, boy, I'm about to live all the goodness of God and God's written in pen and desire and plan and pray for our life. Got lost in the graveyard of religion and the revelation of who God is and what he's really doing and what his plan and purpose and desire for our heart has been hidden in the graveyard of religion. So that the people don't know the love of God. So that the people don't know the things that are coming up on them. So that the people don't know that there's a better way. And the people don't know that God has provided that way for us. And the people don't know, watch this, that their sovereignty, their complete rule, their dominion. You know what dominion is? Like Apostle Ronald was talking last week, you know, man, I'm talking about because of what Jesus Christ has done for us and the love of God, man, your dominion, your authority as a citizen of the kingdom of God, not a member of a church, but your authority as a citizen of God's kingdom has been restored back to you. And as a result of that, when you come to the knowledge of that, that everything that we lost in Adam has been, not going to be, not want to be, not may be, has been restored back to us. For what purpose, Lord? So that you can escape the corruption that's coming up on this earth. So that you can begin once again to walk in dominion and sovereignty and raw power and righteousness and peace and in joy in the Holy Ghost. What you mean? So, boy, when you realize, man, who you are in Christ Jesus and what's been restored back to you, then you do kind of like what we were talking about on this broadcast last week. You'll begin to recognize, boy, your authority, your kingdom authority. Glory to God. And in your kingdom authority, man, you just like our Father. Listen, the way God get things done, he just speak the word. Everything was created, man, by the spoken word of God. And God said, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, verse 6. And God said, verse 9. And God said, verse 14. And God said, verse 21, God said, all those things, that's God speaking. That's the word of God. What are you doing, man? Hallelujah. He's sending his word. And everything, boy, that he spoke came into existence. And then he made an awesome statement. He said, let's make mankind just like us with our character and our nature and in our likeness. That means function like him. How he functions? He functions by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what he say. So when he says something, he believe what he say, and he say what he believe. And what he say, because of his belief and faith in it, man, it manifested itself in the earth by the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what God wants you to know too, boy, that I'm talking about life and death is in the power of your tongue. You're a king too, even if you don't know it or realize it or not. You've been, your rulership and your kingship and your queenship, that has been restored back to you. That gives you the opportunity, man, to begin to reign in life. How you reign in life? With your word. How do a king reign over his territory? With his words. Hallelujah. How do you reign over your territory, over your life? With your word. Do you know that you are a sum total of the choices and decisions that you make every day? Mm-hmm. You know that, did you know that you have the power and the responsibility to determine your God-given purpose and destiny? You. And then for you to make the right choice and the right decision that's going to get you to your God-given purpose and destiny depends on the quality of the knowledge that you have of the word of God. That's why God says, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices and be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. Right? You got to come out of darkness. How you come out of darkness, man? By coming into the light. What's the light? In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God, and the word is God. And in him was life. L-I-F-E. And the life that's in the word, the Zoe, the life of God, the God kind of life, was the light of men. and the light shine in darkness. What darkness? Ignorance of the light, ignorance of God's word. But boy, the word kept on shining in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't overtake it. It couldn't see it. It couldn't put it out. In other words, man, just because you don't know the knowledge of God's will and don't understand God's will for your life, that don't hinder nothing, man. I'm talking about, boy, the power of the Holy Ghost is available to you to enlighten the eyes of your understanding, again, so that you can know the truth. Listen, the truth don't set you free. It says you shall know the truth. What's the truth? The word of God. You shall know the truth. The truth that you know, that's what sets you free. And when you know that you've been set free from the slavery and the bondage of Satan himself and translated out of this kingdom of ignorance, this kingdom of darkness that Satan set up on this earth today, that we are living in here on the earth today, and you come to the knowledge that you've been translated out of that kingdom, out of this world system, back into the original kingdom and the original world system and pattern of operation that God, boy, originally desired and purpose and plan and intended for all our lives. And that's this, that man, we reign in life. That life don't reign over us. Circumstance, situation, and symptoms don't reign over us. But instead, we reign over circumstance, situation, and symptom in our lives. How you do that, Arthur? Man, by your spoken word. Hallelujah. You're going to have what you say. Be not deceived, God, not mocked. Whatsoever man say, that shall he reap. That's what you're going to have. You're going to have what you say. Hallelujah. So do you remember when Apostle was talking last week how the centurion came in and he wanted Jesus, man, to come and heal him, you know, and Apostle said, man, and Jesus was willing to go. But then, man, they got the dialogue and then they started dialoguing about, man, authority. What? Kingdom authority. Mm-hmm. What kingdom authority, boy? I'm talking about life and death is in the power of the tongue. And when you get into the kingdom and learn of the kingdom and start speaking, man, like Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I just speak, man, what he say. I just do what he do. Hallelujah. And as a result of it, he was ruling and reigning over every circumstance, situation, and symptom that confronted his life. Listen, everybody in the day and time didn't get healed. But the Bible say all those that came to him, he healed them all. All those mm-hmm. that came to him, he saved them all. All those that came to him, he delivered them all. All those that came to him, he provided for them all. Who it didn't go, that ain't wholesale across the board. That's everybody who came to him. Glory to God. And boy, when you realize the love of God that he displayed in his son, Jesus Christ, you will come to him too. And if you come to him, the Bible says, whosoever man call upon the name of the Lord or come to him, it didn't say maybe, could be, should be. No, it's the shall be. Saved. And I'm talking about in every area of your life that you might need saving in. And then what you do with that salvation, then you start speaking it. You believe it in your heart, the Bible says in Romans, man, and you confess it with your mouth. What? Your sovereignty, your healing, your salvation, your deliverance, your provision, your needs met. Instead of going around saying, I don't feel too good, you go around saying, you change, you speak with new tone. You start saying, by stripes I'm healed in the midst of the adverse circumstances, situation, or symptoms. You start saying, man, I'm saved by grace through faith, and that's not of myself. It's a gift from God. You won't be, man, wondering, hoping that you get to heaven. You will know that you are as sure for, boy, the consummation of God's purpose and plan for your life as if you was already there. In fact, man, he guarantees and ready to guarantee you that you are as sure for it as if it's already there. Why? Because he placed the kingdom of heaven on the inside of you, even if you don't know it. All of the kingdom of heaven, that place you're trying to get to, you know what that's at? That ain't in the sweet by and by. That's in the right here and now. Where is that in the right here and now, Brother Arthur? It's on the inside of you. If you open up your heart and allow, man, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come in and do what he came to do. What? The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 42, Jesus, man, was preaching the kingdom, man, all around, man. They say, I must go to other cities and preach the gospel of the kingdom to other cities as well. But therefore was I sent. What he was sent to do, he was sent more to preach the good news about the kingdom. What's the good news about the kingdom? That's your inheritance. I told you, man, you know, we're not careful. We preach the good news about Jesus. But you know what Jesus was preaching? He was preaching the good news about you. What? That you can send the word. Just like he sent mm-hmm. the word, man, and that servant was healed, he wants you to know that you can send the word to your circumstance, situation, and symptom, too. He wants you to know that you can send the word and escape the corruption that's on this, that's coming up on this earth, too. He wants you to know that, man, there's power in your tongue, hallelujah, in what you say, and that you can escape all the corruption that's coming up on this earth's heart by the power of your tongue. When you start speaking life, hallelujah, instead of death. When you start speaking kingdom authority instead of religious sayings and when you start speaking, man, the word of God over your circumstance, situation, and center, boy, you escape the corruption that's in this world, because it's coming. Like Pastor Earlene said, it's coming. Boy, you can escape it, glory to God. And boy, you can, man, I'm talking about, miss all the calamities, all the tribulation, all the devil's hell, Sheol, the lake of fire. You can bypass, you can skip all that, and you can come to the knowledge that you won't even have to worry about that. Why? Because you will know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, Jesus told them disciples, rejoice, man, not because the demons are subject to you, and because, man, you know, the gospel being preached and everything. That's a good thing, but here's something greater. What? Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know what that means? That means you ain't got to worry about going to a devil's hell. Glory to God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You did more than sign the church roll and shake the preacher's hand and join the ministry. Man, you shook the Lord Jesus Christ's hand, man, and you joined more, become a citizen of the kingdom of God. And in doing that, man, I'm talking about you more than just a member of a church. You're more than just, you know, good God Almighty. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it ain't got no eraser on that pencil. Hallelujah. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? That means you can escape the corruption. You're going to escape the corruption that's in this world. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So it'd be in all our best interest, man, to make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as you come to the knowledge of death and get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and meet the Lord Jesus Christ and receive your eternal life, then, man, you got to, that's just the beginning. Now you got to learn how to live this kingdom life. Hallelujah. Like I heard my brother was saying earlier on the broadcast that came on before us, boy. I thought that's the way you got to live. You can't live no any kind of way in the kingdom of God. No, Lord, man. It don't work like that. Man, you got to live, man, according to the will of God, the purpose of God, the desire of God for your life. You got to come out of darkness. You got to come out of sin into righteousness. Man, you got to cease from the old ways and the old way of thinking and the old way of living and everything else and take up on this new way of living, glory to God. And in that new way of living, then you can send the word of God to your circumstance, situation, and center, to your circle of influence, and it will not return to God, boy, boy. It will accomplish what God said to do. So in my last minute here, I just want to take this opportunity to send the word to y'all, you know. Everybody that's out there, regardless of what your circumstance, situation, or symptom might be, listen, by the stripes of Jesus, you heal. Regardless of what your circumstance, situation, or symptom might be, listen, every need that you have is already met. Regardless of your circumstance, situation, and symptom, everything that you need deliverance from, you are delivered from. Everything that you need provision for is already provided for you. And boy, I send the word to you. I send, just like Jesus sent the word and say, hey, go your way, your servant is healed. I send the word to you and I say, your name, man, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I say, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. I say that every one of your needs that's represented out there in radio land is already met. I say that everything that you need deliverance from, sins, habits, whatever it might be, like I heard my brother saying earlier on the radio, I'm talking about whatever it might be that keeps us from walking in the reality of what it means to be children of the Most High God, I send the word to you, and I say you are blessed and highly favored. Listen, y'all, our time is up, and it's always an honor and a privilege to minister to y'all the word of God's grace that's able to build us up and give us our inheritance. Apostle Ron and Pastor Earlene, it's always an honor to have y'all on here with us. Look forward to the next time. By the believers out there in Radio Land, I send God's word to you. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Be healed, be saved, be delivered, and be blessed.